There are many reasons to come to Kansas City, Missouri. It's a birthplace of modern jazz, the home of the National World War I Memorial. It even boasts America's first purpose-built shopping mall. Just don't plan on getting around by bike.
It's all about cars and trucks. Yeah, if you don't have a car, it's nearly impossible to get around Kansas City. With very much success. It's a challenge.
In Kansas City, you get used to fixing flats.
Well, that's quite, we kind of gathered that.
What if I said I want to cycle from one side of Kansas City to the other? What would your advice to me be?
Make sure you've got your affairs in order.
Kansas City is widely recognized as the worst place for cycling in the whole of the United States. It's held together by a tangled web of urban motorways, with cars racing bumper to bumper along wide downtown streets. But the rising price of gasoline in the US is making many people think twice about using their cars, and they're looking for alternatives. In the BBC's One Planet, I'll be discovering how Mayor Mark Funkhauser wants to transform the city into one of the most cycle-friendly urban areas in the country.
It makes a lot of sense environmentally. It makes a lot of sense from the point of view of physical fitness, and it fits with a compact, dense city. And strategies that fit with a compact, dense city move Kansas City in the right way.
I'm a keen cyclist and cycle regularly in central London, but before I ventured onto the roads of Kansas City, I thought it wise to get an idea of what to expect. I met up with Stephen Steigman from local radio station KCUR. We chatted on a bridge overlooking the Country Club Plaza, an upmarket shopping area modelled, strangely enough, on the Spanish city of Seville. Here you'll find tree-lined streets bordered with ornately tiled shopfronts and busy sidewalks. It all sounds very cycle-friendly, but Stephen says first appearances can be misleading.
This is one of the few places in Kansas City that's pedestrian-friendly. This was built as a pedestrian-friendly shopping district, yet it was also designed with the automobile in mind. In fact, where we've been walking through, there used to be a Sears with an auto garage, and there used to be supermarkets and department stores and the such. And you might not be able to see it, but the Country Club Plaza has hidden this very well. There are parking garages all throughout here, parking for thousands and thousands of automobiles, but they've done a very nice job of hiding them. This is one of the few places that does that, in fact.
So elsewhere, this is really a city of the car.
Absolutely. This city has spread so much. It was really built up in the 1920s and 30s, in the era where people were buying cars. Most of the neighborhoods around the Country Club Plaza are indeed built for the car. All the roads are, all the boulevards system was designed for the automobile, not necessarily for the pedestrian.
And what about the cyclist? Does the cyclist even figure?
Only as an afterthought. The cyclist really doesn't have a dedicated place to ride. There are very few dedicated bike lanes. In fact, there are no more than about 6 miles of dedicated bike lanes in the entire area. And that's put together. And this is an area that has more highway miles per capita than any other city, save Houston. So to get anywhere, you really do either need a car or you need a car.
But I had a bicycle. So in the true spirit of BBC journalism, there was really only one way to get to the heart of the story.
Let's go!
Roll him out!
Let's go!
I joined a group of cyclists who spend their Sundays on the streets of the city. Among them were
Laurie Chipman,
Marcy Elward,
Doug Havoc,
John Carroll,
Mitchell Williams.
Okay, so through a tunnel. What is it about tunnels? When anyone goes through a tunnel, they feel they have to go, woo!
Because they echo.
Brings out the child in everyone, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. Just like cycling brings out the child.
This is quite a struggle, this hill, actually.
We're not on the steep part yet.
Thank you. If anyone ever tells you that Kansas is flat. Don't believe them.
After an hour or so, I was somewhat relieved when we stopped for a break and were able to have a proper chat.
We've cycled. How far have we cycled, Laurie?
About 7 or 8 miles.
7 or 8 miles, so that's about 10, 12 kilometres. And we stopped for a breakfast. There's the harp going on the background. This is a little market area.
This is our typical ride. We go here every other week, and we've been going here for years, and it's great. You get coffee and bagels and fruit.
But is this quite unusual? Sunday morning, we've hardly met any traffic on the roads.
That's why we ride on Sunday mornings, because the traffic is not very bad at all. Most people like to sleep in sometimes on Sunday mornings. Yeah. And while they're sleeping in, we're out riding and sweating and breathing hard. You know.
So, Mitchell, what's it like on a typical weekday? Because you cycle a lot of the week, don't you?
I commute during the week. I travel 6 miles each way. I try to make it at least 3 days a week. And the time that I leave about 6 o'clock in the morning, so it's not very busy on my morning commute. Evening commute is quite different. Streets are very busy, and they're definitely not looking out for cyclists, so I try to take a lot of the back roads, and I'm definitely on guard for them, meaning the cars.
What's it like, though, cycling on the streets? Because you can't help noticing it is one big network of very wide, quite fast-flowing roads, and a huge freeway going right across the city.
Well, the city is really not designed, per se, for cyclists, but we take an attitude, or I take an attitude, I belong. So I ride like I belong there, and so I'm not afraid, but I'm very cautious. I'm vigilant.
Yeah. Would the rest of you agree with that it is potentially quite dangerous cycling in the week?
Yeah, well, Doug commutes quite a bit, and I commute as well. And one of the things about Kansas City is that a lot of motorists don't know how to react to you when you're on the road. It's almost as if, you know, they'll get way out of your way. It's almost as if they don't know how to treat us. They don't know how to deal with us.
They're looking at you, and then they sort of gravitate toward you, you know. So that's what I hate most, you know. Like, okay, don't look at me. Get over her, you know.
Right. So that's something that as a community we're working on, is to educate the public to the fact that we are part of the traffic instead of something that's unusual or weird.
And that's the key, isn't it? How do you change people's attitudes? Because you really are, I suppose, you know, you say there are quite a few cycling groups, but you're really a hardcore of cyclists, aren't you?
Yes and no. I mean, the thing is that people are forced to do it, but also people want to do it.
Right.
The thing is convincing the folks who run the city that that's the direction we're going in.
And what about the money? Because you can't help noticing here the price of fuel. And it's on all the TV networks and all the newspapers here, the price of fuel, it seems to be going up daily. Is that making a difference?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it's making a lot of difference. There's a lot more people out on the road. There's a big increase in sales of 27-inch tires because people are grabbing their old bikes out of the basement. I read about that the other day. And yeah, there's a lot more people on the road, and some of them don't know how to ride very well. And so with the combination of the motorists who may not know how to deal with us and those people who are riding the wrong way on the road or on the sidewalk or whatever, there's a lot of transition going on right this minute.
So how do you persuade people to get on their bikes?
Well, I think the best way to do that is to set an example. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm out there, maybe a couple thousand people, motorists, see me, and maybe a few of them think, well, if he's doing it, I could probably do it.
Right.
And I really think that an example is the most persuasive thing you can do.
Well, we're ambassadors of what we do. And that's why when I see people in the morning, I say, good morning, how are you? And wave at the little kids, you know. Try to get people inspired to do things. Public relations.
Only a few blocks from the market, and John Carroll pulls over to show me a drain cover in the road.
So just tell me about this drain quite quickly.
Well, what happened was in 2003, that's 5 years ago, my wife hit this grate, and she went right over her handlebars. It stopped her in her track. In fact, this grate is is even wider than a normal bicycle wheel.
But it's just on the road, isn't it?
She could have easily broken her neck by hitting this grate. And I wrote the city, I called the city, and it's been 5 years and it's still here.
As we struggled, well, I struggled to catch up with the rest of the group, I chatted with John about how attitudes were changing.
You think you've got the city authorities now on your side, apart from that drain?
A bulk of them, yes, yes. There's a guy named Ed Ford who's been very anti-cyclist. And that's been problematic. Again, we have a long mentality of the economy of the automotive economy. And we're shifting away from that. Painful. Very painful.
The next day, I went to see Ed Ford, actually a councillor for the city. Councilman Ford has consistently opposed cycling initiatives, while at the same time campaigning for improved public transport.
Are you anti-bike?
No, but I'm pro-public safety. And my concern has always been the safety of the bicyclists riding on the busiest city streets. And all we do is we paint a white line on the street. We call that the bike lane. And we give, I think, bicyclists maybe a false sense of security that it's safe to share the road with the crazy drivers we have. Now, when I was in Colorado last summer, everywhere I went, I saw bicyclists. And it was real easy to get into the mentality of sharing the road because you expected to see them.
Do you accept, though, that cyclists have painted you as a bit of a villain in Kansas City?
I'm sorry to hear that because I've always been for bicycle routes and pedestrian routes. I just don't believe they belong on the thoroughfares themselves. I'd rather them be off-roadway.
So how do you overcome these problems? How do you go from the situation in Kansas City to the situation in Colorado? If you're not anti-bike, how do you make that transition?
Part of it is just a critical mass. We don't have enough people that ride their bicycles to work, who ride it other than recreational. There's a world of difference on a Kansas City street on a weekend than there is on a weekday.
So do you think it's wrong to encourage more cyclists in the city? Certainly cyclists for commuting, as opposed to cyclists who have a nice trip around on a Sunday when the roads are clear.
The fact that gasoline has shot up so dramatically and so quickly certainly has made me rethink my position, because it may be that riding the bicycle like public transportation has become a necessity rather than an option for folks. But the present way of doing things, which is just painting a white stripe where they have, you know, the outer foot or 18 inches of the roadway and they have to deal with the grates and all that, it doesn't make us bicycle friendly.
By this time, my producer Will and I had been cycling in Kansas City for 2 days. And apart from a near disaster when conducting an interview while cycling down a steep hill, I couldn't see what all the fuss was about. Then we set off to meet cyclist and blogger Noah Dunker. And that's when it started to go wrong.
I've arrived in downtown Kansas City, and I have to say it was a horrendous journey to get here. I've travelled about 10 kilometres. And I was going to say cycled about 10 kilometres, but we made about 4, and then I got a puncture. I don't know what it was, glass or something. So I had a puncture in a fairly... well, not the most salubrious part of the city. And then it just got worse because I had to cycle on the flat tire just to get out of the neighbourhood and back to Main Street where there's a bus. So we thought, well, we'll put our bikes on the bus, which is what you're meant to do in Kansas City. There are racks on all the buses. So bus pulled up, put our bikes on, absolutely no instructions of how to do it. Asked the driver, she had no idea of what to do. And we sat on the bus. I just watched as our bikes wavered backwards and forwards. Every bump we went over, the bikes jumped. And the next stop we got off and realised we hadn't actually put the clamps on properly, and our bikes really could have gone underneath the bus. So all in all, a pretty awful journey, but finally arrived to meet Noah Dunker. You cycle every day, and you just fixed the puncture. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And that was in about 5 minutes. You're obviously used to doing this.
Very much used to fixing flats.
What is it like cycling in this city, which just in my experience the last few days is singularly bicycle unfriendly?
You have to watch for traffic. I think the most important thing in Kansas City is to find a route that's not necessarily the one you would choose to use in a car. The parallel roads that are a little smaller are a lot better to ride on. I have to carry a full change of clothes and my laptop with me, so I have no locker at work, no shower at work, so I have to carry all my daily essentials with me to and from every day, day in and day out.
So you have to get to work, change your clothes, there's no facilities at work, you can get cut up by traffic on the roads itself, it's a dangerous city, punctures are a regular occurrence. Why on earth would anyone want to cycle in Kansas City?
I can't justify lethargy. I love the exercise. I love the wind in my hair. I love the smell of the grass being cut. I love waving to people and saying hi to people walking their dogs in the morning. I'm saving loads on fuel and loads on parking. There's no reason for me to drive to work.
Although Noah seemed to enjoy the daily challenge of cycling in Kansas City, I was beginning to tire of the experience. Fortunately, I had a pressing appointment at City Hall with the mayor. Mark Funkhauser openly acknowledges his debt of gratitude to the cycling community.
The bicycling group was one of the first official groups to endorse me in the campaign. I was a long shot, a dark horse, as we say, and I did not get a lot of official endorsements, certainly not in the early days of the campaign. And the bicyclists did pick me.
What would you like to see changed?
Well, one of the things that is obviously massive that we have to do is that we have half the land mass of the city is north of the Missouri River and half is south, and there isn't a reasonable way to get a bicycle across the river. I have been pushing a regional transit system hard. It's been probably my highest priority for the last 9, 10, 12 months, because we are a lousy city for transit. I mean, just terrible city for transit. And one of the things that the transit system that we build will have is a transit-only bridge across the Missouri River that is specifically designed for bicycle and pedestrian as well as transit.
City Manager Wayne Colthan told me how this vision for a cycle-friendly Kansas City can be achieved.
I think that what you do is you pick and choose that low-hanging fruit that you know where you can go ahead and have someone go from one destination to another destination that many people will travel, and then people see that and say, oh, why don't we do another one from here to there? So I think you have to have the right demonstration project to continue to move forward.
So what is your demonstration project, your low-hanging fruit,
well,
if you like?
Well, I would say I would want to do something like from Brookside to the plaza, to downtown, to the city market, and maybe over across the bridge.
So that's pretty much a straight line, what, north-south straight line?
Right, Yes, I think that would be something that will deal with that. I live downtown. I see a lot of people cycling down Grand Avenue and things of that sort, so it seems like it's a line that everybody already does. The question is whether or not it's user-friendly.
So is this a bureaucratic problem? Is this your bureaucratic problem?
Well, let's put this away. A lot of times in government, you do have bureaucratic issues. I'll look at it as a bureaucratic opportunity as it relates to...
I've never heard that before, bureaucratic opportunity.
As it relates to getting the bureaucracy to be more coordinated. Because the fact of the matter is, I think that the Parks Board would prefer to have people riding their bikes around the parks. And I think that the city would definitely want to have people riding their bikes. The Department of Transportation also, because bike lane miles are much easier to prepare than roads.
And is everyone moving in the same direction? You talk about all these bureaucratic opportunities, the people that you've got to coordinate, the roads you've got to coordinate, the state you've got to coordinate, the city you've got to coordinate, business you've got to get all the same people all saying the same thing.
Until I hired someone that was dedicated to that, the answer would have probably been no. The fact that the city has hired someone to do nothing but that, people are looking at it a different way.
I met the person who's been hired to get Kansas City cycling at a popular farmers market near the river. I took the bus. With only 1 in 200 people in Kansas City regularly using their bicycles for transportation, bike coordinator Deb Ridgway knows she's got her work cut out.
I think in the last year we've seen a significant increase in that, but that's anecdotal. That's just based on observation of I see more people out every day biking and walking and even taking transit.
Okay, you mentioned anecdotal. Let's see if we can talk to a few people around the market here. Let's go up to a few people over here.
Excuse me. I'm from the BBC. And can I just ask you how you got here? Did you drive here?
Yes.
And do you always drive around the city?
I always do. Only today in my car, I was talking to Afi, one of my friends, and we were talking about how high the gas price is getting. And she decided that she's not driving to City Market anymore. She'll be taking the bus.
So the bus?
Yes.
Okay. So, what about cycling? Would you consider cycling in the city?
I'm not very confident on a bicycle, so I don't know. Maybe I'll prefer to take the bus.
Take the bus. So this is Deb. She's charged by the city council with promoting cycling, getting people to cycle. Tell this lady why she should cycle.
Well, there's lots of reasons to bike. One, for health and fitness is very, very important. And once we get, I think, more facilities in place, you'll probably be more encouraged to try it.
I don't know. It's the idea is appealing. Yeah, maybe, yes.
You think of it?
Yes.
Some thought.
Uh-huh.
What about your friend here?
I'm thinking of cycling because I need to shed some weight, but not on the road. I won't try it. I don't want to die.
Is that a concern? Do you think it's really quite dangerous on the roads in Kansas City?
Yeah, it's a concern.
Deb, what about that safety issue? Because that is a big deal. There are stories in the newspapers, even today, about people who have been killed on their bikes cycling.
Safety is a big concern, and I understand why people would be discouraged by that. One of the things that we are working on is an education outreach campaign with local law enforcement to help motorists understand what the rules of the road are, how you share the road with cyclists, how much room you give them to pass. And then we also have clinics for adults, much like bike rodeos are very popular for young children. So you have to build the skills, you build confidence, and then you practice on streets that aren't so busy.
So you're talking as much about educating motorists as you are about cyclists.
Absolutely. Everybody has to know what the rules are and what they're supposed to do.
You're nodding there. You think the motorists could do with some education?
Yeah, both the cyclists and the motorists need education. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll let you get back to your shopping. Well, you possibly convinced a couple of people there. You just handed over your card, Deb. But I can just give you some more anecdotes, perhaps, of my experiences of cycling around the city. First of all, there was the issue of safety. A lot of people were concerned for my life when I talked about cycling across the city. There's also a basic problem, the drains, the drain covers. They are almost exactly, the grid on the drain cover, almost exactly the same size as the bike wheel. I spoke to a keen cyclist, John Carroll. His wife went into one of these drain covers. This was 5 years ago. He's been complaining about it ever since. The drain cover is still there. In fact, it's just down the road, just on 3rd.
Well, give me that exact location, and I'll make sure that it is on our plans. We actually are about to replace 282 of those grates across the city. We want to know where they are, where people are biking, so that we can make it safe as possible.
So if I show you this grate, give you the directions, you pledge to sort it out?
I pledge to sort it out, yes.
So the BBC's One Planet may have helped solve one small problem. But Deb Ridgway knows there's a lot of work to do before Kansas City can ever be considered cycle-friendly. Nevertheless, as fuel prices increase, people here certainly seem receptive to change. It'll be interesting to return to see if the city has persuaded people to get out of their cars and onto their bikes. A question for Mayor Funkhauser.
I think if you come back in 5 years' time, you will have found that it will have changed a lot. I think that there are a number of forces in American life that are pushing us to be more dense, more urban. I mean, for the first time in history in the United States, most people live in metropolitan areas. That's different. If you watch how social changes happen, there is a sort of a tipping point at which it's no longer the early adopters, it's no longer the innovators, it becomes the normal thing to do, and then it rapidly expands. I think that for the environmental issues, we are past the tipping point. For bicycling, we are close to the tipping point. And once you pass the tipping point on these social trends, they progress very rapidly, and they don't go back. And that's where we are with bicycling. I mean, it's going to progress very rapidly, and we're not going to go back.
Despite the traffic, the puncture, and the unnerving bus ride, overall I'd say that cycling in Kansas City has been an enjoyable experience, particularly in the warm breeze of a Sunday afternoon, chatting with fellow cycling enthusiasts. I'm gonna be staying on the corner,
12th Street and Vine. You're telling me there's a song even about Kansas City?
Oh yeah, it's called Going to Kansas City. It's one of the most recorded songs it's ever made, and it'll tell you about going to 12th Street and Vine and all those vices you can find down there.
So should we hum this to ourselves or sing it to ourselves while we're cycling around Kansas City?
Well, I'm not sure you want me to if it's going to go out on air internationally. I'd be a disgrace to the Kansas City music heritage. Kansas City.